Welcome to Inside Analog Photo. I'm your host, Scott Shepard, and this is the Inside Analog Photography Radio Program, the show all about traditional photographic process. We got a great announcement today. We're announcing today our partnership with George Eastman House International Museum of Photography and Film. This is our photographic philanthropy partnership with George Eastman House. This is great stuff going on. George Eastman House International Museum of Photography and Film was established in 1947 and houses one of the world's leading collections of photography, motion pictures, cameras, technology, and literature. The Eastman House staff includes the world's leading experts in photography, conservation, and historic processes. Photographic philanthropy is a vital key to the George Eastman House growth and development. Your ongoing donations are critical to sustaining a future filled with learning and enjoyment opportunities that encourage and promote a greater level of knowledge about our photographic past. Be part of the big picture. Join George Eastman House International Museum of Photography and Film today. They got great membership deals. Membership includes admission to the museum, bi-monthly news magazine, discounts at the museum shop and the Dryden Theater, guest passes, special invitations to member-only events, behind-the-scenes tours, discounts on lectures from visiting artists, and invitations to exposition previews. Your membership gives a wider access to the museum and all George Eastman House International Museum of Photography and Film has to offer. You can check out more information over at www.eastmanhouse.org. These guys do excellent work. This is something you really need to think about supporting. They have memberships that you can sign up if you're in the Rochester, New York area. If you want to go there a lot, they have deals that if you're out of towner, that you're not local to the Eastman House, you can sign up. This money goes into preserving the history of photography. It's something really important. We're definitely behind this. We're going to be help evangelizing for George Eastman House International Museum of Photography and Film to let people know about how they can help support this great organization. I just want to welcome everybody from the George Eastman House. This is great stuff we're going to be doing. We're going to have interviews from people from George Eastman International Museum of Photography and Film, curators, and a lot of great stuff going on. So we want to let you guys know about that today. Our new photographic philanthropy partnership, George Eastman House International Museum of Photography and Film. Great stuff going on. And of course, Inside Analog Photography is brought to you by Fujifilm, making life more colorful over at www.fujifilmusa.com. Our friends over at Richard Photo Lab, richardphotolab.com, DR5 for black and white chrome at dr5.com. Our friends over at Iger Studios, Lenny Iger. Great, great scanning going on over there for hybrid workflows, igerstudios.com, and Upstrap at upstrap-pro.com. And of course, our media partners of the Analog Photography User Group. A lot of people from the George Eastman House hang out at APUC. A lot of great stuff going on. The place on the web to learn about traditional photographic process. www.apug.org. We got a great show lined up for everybody today. Today, we are going to have with us the brothers Wright. The Wright brothers from Southern California talking about their analog photography. They did a nice test on analog versus digital. These guys have a great aspect to look at this and what they've been doing, what they're doing for their photography, and just great stuff. Brandon, Brian, how are you guys doing today?
Good. Fantastic.
Hey, thanks for joining us here on Inside Analog Photo. Great to have the brothers Wright with us. This is really cool. Gentlemen, tell us about what you guys are up to. I know you guys do a lot of fine art photography, specializing in portrait, wedding, and of course on film. So give me a little background on the brothers Wright and what you guys are up to here.
Okay. I guess I'll take that one. This is Brandon. We got into photography pretty early on. We're 25 now, so we're still pretty young in the industry compared to a lot of other professional photographers out there. But we've been shooting for the past 11, 12 years. We got started pretty early on just taking pictures with random disposable cameras and stuff like that. But we really began to get into photography when we turned 16 and inherited my dad's Olympus OM-1, which is fully manual settings. And that's when we kind of both shared that camera and started getting into it. It was really fun. The first couple rolls that we shot, maybe one, two pictures came out on them. And then we realized, we got to learn how to use this thing. And I think that's what really got us into learning how to actually handle a fully manual camera and begin to shoot film and learn how to operate and get the great exposures and know what I'm doing wrong with the f-stop and the shutter speed and stuff like that. Where I think that's lost on a lot of current technology with digital cameras or even a lot of autofocus film cameras. A lot of photographers don't understand what an f-stop is. They just shoot on aperture priority, and it comes out because the camera does all the work. And, I mean, we had to learn on the manual, and it was a lot of fun. Then we went from there and began to shoot just random stuff, friends, skateboarding, what we were doing when we were teenagers. Music photography, started doing some live stuff just of our friends' bands and going to shows up in L.A. and sneaking our cameras into the Troubadour. It was a lot of fun. But then we decided to go to college to learn more about the whole photographic process, to learn black and white darkroom photography. We went to Palomar College. It was close to us. We were down in San Diego County. And wow, that just really opened our eyes to what was possible. I remember, like, one of my favorite instructors used to always show us photographs and expose us to other photographers. It wasn't a photographic history class, but he still used to do lectures and bring in people like Ansel Adams and Richard Avedon and just show us these amazing photographers. And that, I think, really opened our eyes to what was possible with photography. And I think that, for me at least, sealed the deal that I wanted to do it as a career. As far as me and my brother working together, we're twins, and we've basically been inseparable as long as we can remember. And if we're going to do photography with anyone, it'd be with each other.
Well, that's cool. You guys can work without wanting to get into fights and doing the typical brother deal, or does that happen quite often too?
I think those type of fights, as some would call it, actually is constructive criticism and actually furthers us on. This is Brian speaking. If I was working by myself, I feel like I would lack that criticism. I wouldn't be able to have someone say, hey, that's absolute crap, reshoot it. I would feel like, oh, it's good enough. And so we spur each other on. Not only that, the images that the other one may capture or create inspire each other. Exponential growth. And we've tried shooting weddings separately. One time we booked two weddings in one day and we both shot them, and it was just not nearly as fun. And the work we got, it was pretty good, but it's only half of what we could have gotten. And one time I was shooting for a magazine. I got to shoot Carlos Santana, but they only could fly one of us up, and I had to shoot it by myself. I got some good shots, but I really regretted not forcing them to fly us both up there. So since then, we know we are not going to shoot apart because it's too much of a sacrifice.
When you guys are working together, and let's say you were shooting a wedding, okay? Do you have a game plan, or you guys just know, I'm going to do this, he's going to do that, we don't even need to talk about it, we just go, let it roll?
I think it's a little bit of both.
Yeah, I think we operate on the same wavelength because we're identical twins, but we communicate a lot beforehand and work it out. One will go with the guys, one with the girls during preparation, that type of thing. We kind of trade off and work a lot together, actually, while shooting, especially for portraits. We'll just kind of throw the camera back and forth.
Very, very interesting. So you guys go to school, you get more education in regards to black and white traditional photography, a little bit of background and learning about old school traditional photographers. Was it just a deal like, okay, well, we're out, we're just going to roll, we're going to start doing this stuff? What brought you together to want to shoot weddings and do this type of stuff? A lot of people would just say, hey, man, let's go to New York City, we're going to go shoot fashion, we're the next Avedon's later, brother, and they just get on a plane and go and just go crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely crossed our minds.
And we have a lot of friends that were going to art center, art school and stuff. That's a huge bill to have to pay off for the next 30 years or however long. So we thought about it long and hard. And I worked at a photo lab similar to what Richard Photo is, smaller scale, north of San Diego County. And I did not want to be a wedding photographer just because I saw their work. And I did not want to do that. That was not what I wanted to do. So our first paying gig was probably when we were maybe 18 shooting a band. And we're like, hey, we can make actual cash money in our hand for this, for shooting some photos. It's fun. So we started doing music photography, and that really became our passion at that point. And we pursued that, did live photography. As you know, the bands don't have any of the money, and they get live photos for free from every Shutterfly in the audience. So we ended up making money doing portraits, which is really cool because I love portraiture. And then from there, it just kind of moved on, and some of the bands that we had shot their album covers for and stuff, or just friends that we had, really want us to shoot their wedding. And they're like, we love the photos you did for our album. I really want you to shoot my wedding, and I want you to do it all in black and white. All right, that sounds interesting, but we're going to do it on our terms. So went out and did it a few times and started to realize this actually can be fun if we set our own terms for how we're going to shoot. And from that point on, we started growing that business and realizing this is actually really enjoyable, and there's a lot of value to wedding images, just as much as shooting, or if not more, than shooting cover of a magazine. People appreciate it a bit more, and it lasts a lot longer.
Yeah, well, I think, too, with doing weddings is you get fashion, you get documentary, you get a little bit of combat photography mixed in there, you get to shoot some food, and you get some still life. So, I mean, really, in theory, if you really look at a wedding gig, you get a lot of this different principles built into one gig. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, you get to be five photographers built into one. In that case, two, but...
And you get higher blood pressure, too.
Yeah, weddings, I think, are some of the most challenging and also most rewarding work that a photographer can do. Travel photography is also awesome, but maybe you can become a travel wedding photographer if that's what you want to do. And there's always work for it out there. And I think I'm happy to be doing it right now. I don't think that we're going to stop with only doing weddings for the rest of our career, because we do enjoy a lot of other types of photography, and we enjoy fine art photography, and we would like to go more into that in the future. We've done a little bit. We've had a local art show one time and did a Super 8 surf film that we put together with some friends. Nothing high-end, but just a little project that we did when we were in college. And we'd love to do a lot more of that in the future, too. So weddings, yes, we love them, and it's what we do right now. And we'll probably do them for a long time in the future. But we would also love to do a lot of other photography.
Let's get geeky now. So you guys are doing these gigs. Everything's going cool. Let's talk about, what do you like to shoot stock-wise, film, when you're at a wedding? I mean, of course, there's certain things that you need to sort of keep in line, but I've noticed you guys like to shoot a lot of cross-process. Tell me what you like for your film. What do you like to shoot?
Take it away. Okay. Well, for film, we shoot, basically, color is all Fuji. We love the 400H and the 800Z for our natural-looking color shots. Then other times I'm like, maybe I want to shoot some Reala if I want a little bit finer grain, but I still want those rich, real colors that Fuji provides. But mostly those are the three basic color C41 film stock we use. For black and white, we shoot Neopan 400, Acros, which are both Fuji stock, and Ilford, the 3200. Basically, for cross-process, we'll shoot any film we can get a hold of. We really have been liking the tungsten balanced light films, whether Kodak or Fuji. Recently, tends to get really good results, tends to warm up the images a little bit more.
Okay, so you're digging the Fuji stock. Let's talk about your thoughts on shooting tungsten chrome for cross-processing. Do you find that it exaggerates the colors more, gives you a better skin tone? Why do you like shooting 64T and compared to, let's say, Velvia 50 or whatever?
Well, I don't know what it is about it. Probably tungsten balanced film is compensating for the yellow cast in the light, so it adds blue. So if you add blue to a negative, you're actually adding yellow. Negative film base is like an orangish yellow to it, so I don't know what it is, but the Frontier scanners, Minilab scanners, tend to get a little bit more, I wouldn't say accurate, but just think a wider range of warm and cool colors without as much color correction in the scans with the tungsten balanced light film. I mean, it really depends. Even if I'm using the same film stock roll to roll with cross process, if you overexpose it an extra half a stop or underexpose it an extra half a stop, it gets a completely different look to it. That's half the fun of it.
Right, but you figure when you guys are doing your cross-processing and you're shooting E6 64T, you're getting a better look and you're digging it better when it's processed C41 just because of the way that the tungsten film was designed for tungsten lighting and it does a weird color thing. So when it's cross-processed, it just has a color set that you guys are digging.
Yeah, it's really, the spectrum. It might be because of the cast or the color balance, but it's just giving a good spectrum. And skin tones are big. We do shoot pretty much all people. So yeah, the skin tones on it are really nice, and we're just feeling it. But yeah, I have shot the Velvia 50 and stuff too, and it's actually kind of cool too. It's a little different.
Let's talk about some of your other stuff. I know you guys have been playing around with some Aerochrome EIR.
Yeah, I don't really like the way it processes in E6. I mean, I've seen a lot of what other people have done with it. It gives kind of like a strange psychedelic look with these rich blues and the red. Foliage is all red, and that's all right and everything. I can't really put my finger on it. I guess psychedelic is what I get feel from it. But when you cross-process it, it's a little bit tricky. Well, another thing is you don't know how to really rate infrared light. You can't meter it so much. So when you cross-process it, you're getting a negative. You can overexpose, like the last time we shot it was at Disneyland, and we were overexposing it like 2 stops. And the negatives looked bulletproof. And we had the lab scan them. The first time I scanned them, it wasn't any good. But we rescanned them on the Frontier, and they just darkened them up, and they looked awesome. It's crazy. The girl had, like, a pink dress. It turns out yellow. The lips are kind of like a yellow cap. And then you just basically have them adjust the colors. You might be, like, 20 points of red or something. But just try to get the skin tone right, and everything else just falls into place, and it just looks kind of interesting. Sometimes the yellows in it will turn, like, a cyan color. Sometimes the red will become almost like a yellow or a blue. Depends what kind of red. So it's kind of serendipitous, and that's what I like about it. I like to experiment a lot with stuff like that.
Do you tend to shoot it with a filter? Like, I know a lot of people shoot EIR with an orange filter.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, but that cuts down on your light.
Yeah?
I really like color balancing it after. I don't know. That's just me with the negative film. Kind of like, I'll shoot tungsten all the time, and for live shows, for concerts when we were doing them, we would set up strobes with Pocket Wizards, and we'd put gel on the strobes. One's a tungsten balance and one's like a blue. And then depending on where we're shooting, we'd have the lab print, or if I was scanning it myself or printing it myself, adjust for a skin tone depending if it's got the blue on it or the yellow. So if you're shooting on the yellow, it makes the blue light that's behind them turn even more blue and cyan when you get that right skin tone. So I enjoy doing that. I like doing it in the post-production rather than putting filters on my lenses too much. But we experiment with filters on the lens, usually not to get natural light though, but just to get a different effect.
Have you guys found a good place to buy Aerochrome besides the guy in Germany that's selling it for $24 a roll?
Not really. The film that we have that's running out now, we actually got a few years ago from a lab that was selling it for $2 a roll. So
wow.
We're using that right now. I mean, eventually that'll run out. We'll have to buy it from that German guy you talked about. But we haven't had to go there yet, so.
Well, I think you guys know how to shoot it and you get the look you want. And I think even if it's $24 a roll, well, I guess you could do this in Photoshop, but what's the sense? It's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, I don't shoot film to work in Photoshop. Yeah, exactly.
Besides all this great work you're doing, you guys, I guess, had nothing else to do. So one day you decided to do this test of film versus digital. And I mean, this discussion's been up and down 16,000 ways of Sunday since the beginning of digital. But you guys have a very unique take on it. I think you did a pretty cool test. And let's talk about this.
Okay, Brandon, I guess I'll start because it was basically my brainchild, my idea. We had been shooting film all the way from when we started when we were 14, 15, until about a year and a half ago when I actually got an opportunity to shoot a digital camera, a Nikon D300, for my church, taking just photos of baptisms, different events, different outreaches that they did in the community. And for about a year, I shot with that camera. I used Capture One. I experimented with some film emulators like Exposure 2 and was trying to get it to look how my film looks. Trying to get that awesome Nikon D300 camera that I would never drop $1,200 on to produce images like I was used to getting on my normal film stock. And I just couldn't get it. So I decided that I would try to share those results, share my opinions with the world. And that's the other thing. I didn't want to just have an opinion. I had read a lot of different blog posts or editorial things with people talking digital versus film, digital wins or film wins. And most of the time it was either completely over-technical mumbo-jumbo where they're not showing any pictures of real people. I mean, no skies, no skin tones, no nothing. They're just talking about line resolution, noise, or megapixels. Or it was just people just showing only one random isolated photo that they took on their digital camera saying, look, this is way better than film. So I was like, well, maybe I'll do a real study. Maybe I'll take my Nikon D300 and pair it up against one of my film cameras and see how the results come out. So I shot from a tripod. I shot in different lighting situations. I shot in tungsten light. I shot in natural daylight. I shot into the sun. I shot split lighting. I shot a motorcycle. And I shot the same exact exposures on film with my Fuji Realifilm on a Fuji GS645S rangefinder camera. And then the same exact exposures, same exact ISO rating on the Nikon D300. And when I got the results back from the lab, they were what I expected.
Very interesting. So what kind of feedback have you had from people that have seen this review, this test? What have you heard from your peers?
Well, it's been mixed. I mean, I've had people get upset. I mean, there was a couple people who just were like, there's no way your digital camera must be messed up. Should be able to beat the film. I mean, it's people getting defensive because they've invested so much into their digital equipment. But then I've had a lot of people who have commented and sent us notes just saying, wow, I'm glad you did this study because this is something that I've known to be true. I've experienced it myself, but no one out there is actually saying anything about it.
I almost look at the whole digital deal. I mean, yes, there are some great cameras. Now, the Nikon D3 with high ISO at 6400 at night is unbelievable, okay? Very hard to do this with film. But all in all, I sort of put the whole digital thing is, and I just chalk it off to a bad night of partying. And everything's back the next day. You don't got no money left, but you'll recover from it, and it's all good. I think that they're making strides in digital, and I think there's probably a use for it in certain situations if you need to turn it now, editorial stuff. I mean, it's hard to do a studio shoot anymore with art directors and clients without having digital so they can look at it, like you said, on Capture One. What do you do if you were shooting Chrome? I got to run this to the lab. It'll be back in a couple hours. So why don't you guys go, I don't know, have a drink. So, I mean, I guess at one point, what are you going to say? But it just goes to show you what you guys have proven with this test. But let's give them this address. Let people go look at this and read it for themselves and look at the images. Where is this at?
Okay, you can go to our blog at twinlenslife.com. And that'll take you directly to our blog. And then if you look under previous posts back on May 25th, 2009, you can find the blog post that we did.
Right now it's still on the first page, but I think we're going to have a few more blog posts might get bumped back.
Yeah.
Right, but I think it's something you guys should go read this stuff and listen to it and look at what you guys have put up there because it's very convincing for the pro film community that, hey, look, it's okay to shoot film. It's cool.
Yeah, and I think the results are just really interesting and compelling. And I don't think it's so much that digital is worthless. I mean, digital actually gets some decent shots, but just when it's put next to the film, you see what it's lacking. And I totally respect many digital photographers out there and producing awesome work. It's just for what we do, for weddings and diverse lighting situations where I can't absolutely dial it in the studio, film has a dynamic range that digital can't touch. And I'm talking about negative film, of course. And being able to not worry about colors with negative film, being able to just color correct it out tungsten or daylight, having the lab color correct that out for me, saves me a ton of time in post-production as well.
So let's talk about your post-production. So you guys go shoot a gig. You're going to shoot a nice wedding. There's a both of you. You're out 8 hours. How much film do you guys shoot at a wedding?
What did we shoot the last wedding, Brandon, last weekend?
The last wedding was 46 rolls.
Okay, so about average, about 50 rolls roughly, okay? So let's say you got 50 rolls. You get these images back from Richard or whoever you're going to use at the time. It's all processed. You get a nice scan back. What's next? How much time do you spend in Lightroom, Aperture, Photoshop, or who knows what after you get the stuff back from the lab?
Well, first of all, we shoot film, so we don't have to spend all that time in Photoshop, Lightroom, Tiddlywink, whatever. We spend, really, it depends on the wedding and how much we shoot black and white, how much we shoot color. If we shoot black and white, there's a lot less time in the post-production. Because we do like to go through each file, we go through and bridge, and we select the best images from each roll, and then we batch rename those and put them into their own folders, because obviously when you get the film back from the lab, they're all in a different order. And then we go through and we have an action on each one that basically just locks in the shadows, and we can place the mid-tone and levels where we want it to be. And if we need to tweak the color balance at all, we can do that. So we could probably do the computer post-production on a wedding in a day or two, depending upon the wedding.
And do you find that it's more time of really selecting the image and saying, I want this to give to the client, I really want to put this in the book? Or is it more time running through some actions and fixing stuff? Or is it more time selection, more say, than correction?
Yeah, definitely more time selection than correction.
Well, that depends on the size of the scans you get back and also how much RAM you have, I guess.
That is true.
Well, this is true. I mean, I find it, even with a decent Mac system, unless you have the latest, greatest, opening these big scans, it's sluggish.
Yeah.
So I can see that definitely be a factor, but it's great to see that, fine, you're in bridge. You'd be doing the same thing on a light table or looking at proof sheets, marking stuff. I mean, you're going to take the time to pick out your favorite. What do you supply to a customer? 200 images in a proof?
More than that. We provide over 500. My last wedding we delivered was 750 images that we provided for them. And of course, with our weddings, we provide digital files on a DVD, starting with our second package up, and 4x6 proofs.
Do you give negatives away?
No, we've never had a need to, because once you give someone 6x9 scans of all of their images, they're not going to know what to do with the negatives. I feel safer holding onto the negatives for them, at least for a while. If anyone asked me for the negatives a year or two after their wedding, I probably wouldn't have a problem giving it to them.
Right. So let's talk about that. And we haven't discussed this gear-wise. What are you shooting your gigs with?
Oh, everything. Let's see.
I know you guys love pack film, so that's very cool.
Oh, yeah. We have a Polaroid 195 land camera that we shoot the 3.25, 4.25 pack film and love it. We also shoot with Mamiya C330s for our square format stuff. I just got a Rolleiflex, having it worked on, getting it TLA'd, and I can't wait to start shooting with that one. But we shoot with the Mamiya and shoot with the 55, the 65, and the 80mm lens. And then we also have Nikon 35mm film cameras that we shoot with.
Very cool. What's your ratio of 35 to medium?
I think most of the photojournalistic documentary stuff is all 35mm, with some exceptions of some stuff that we might get with the Mamiya and the 80mm 2.8. So I would say probably at least 2/3 to 3/4 would be 35mm. But all the portraiture shots that we get are the medium format.
Now, do you think that people are looking for you guys, the Brothers Wright, to shoot their wedding, their engagement, whatever event it might be, because you're shooting film? Do you actually advertise that you're an actual analog-based traditional photographers? How do you guys work that into your business plan? Or does that have no factor at all?
Well, that depends, really. Certain people, that they couldn't care less between film and digital. They look at our portfolio and they like our work. And they're also considering digital photographers. But they just like the way it's shot. It's not even the feel of film at all. But then there's other clients that come and like, oh my gosh, you shoot film. I know film's the best. Maybe they went to art school. Maybe they work in the film industry and stuff. Or sometimes they're artists and they understand and they really want something captured on film and they don't have very many other options. that don't cost them over like $7,000. So it helps with some clients, but actually there's a few times when there's a father of the bride who's like, well, I don't know, man, digital is where it's at. I don't want to hire some guy to shoot some film. What am I going to do with it after he's done? And doesn't understand that we're actually scanning the film. You're getting the same thing. It's on a DVD. You're getting all the same resolution files you would. It's just better quality. And I'd say we may have lost like one or two jobs just because of that. So I think there's a good amount of people. It does put us in the niche market, and it might help us in a way. The main thing is it helps us get the clientele that we want to shoot for. We try to shoot more artistically, shoot non-traditional. And those people who hire us because we're shooting film, usually they want that. They usually don't want the kind of cheesy traditional photos. They want to do something different, and that's what we want to do.
Very interesting. So what would you guys say as a tip to other photographers that are shooting digital now or on the edge here about doing this stuff to jump feet first into the film gig?
Be very careful. Mainly, I would say you could shoot any film stock. You could get 99-cent Walgreens film. And if you bring it to the right lab, it'll still look fantastic. Now, I recommend shooting the Fuji stock, shooting the professional grade film. It's going to give you better results, better dynamic range. But now if you take that and you bring it to Walgreens for them to process it, it's going to look horrible. It's going to look worse than any digital picture. And I mean, I don't want to bash anybody, so I won't name names, but there's a certain lab up north that was offering a pretty good deal on high-resolution scans, and we tried them out. They were correcting our images when they were scanning them, and we were losing tons of highlight detail. The gamma was peaking. It was just crazy colors, way too vibrant, way too much saturation, and we kept sending it back, and they didn't know how to fit our needs because they were trying to emulate digital with our film, and it was looking bad. I actually expressed it to them. I'm like, I could see why people are going to digital because they're using you with their film, and the digital looks better. But really, if you go to the right lab and you get the right film process, no matter how you shoot it, you could be a stop off or overexposed two stops and be fine. And actually, it's quite liberating if you're a digital photographer when you first do that. And you bring it to a good lab, and they actually will adjust for that and print right. As the bride walks from a shady area into the sunlight, you're not going to lose her face or her dress. So I would say just make sure you find the right lab. Richard's Photo Lab, great, and I know you can send stuff there. We've been using another lab in San Diego County. Brian, why don't you tell them about that lab?
Yeah, we've been using a lab down in San Diego County for our black and white, and they've been doing a really good job. Haven't moved over to start trusting them with our color yet, but they're called North County Photo Services in Carlsbad, and they do a pretty good job, too, for a reasonable price. I think I sent one roll of color to them, and I wasn't too excited on the results I got. They're scanning with the Noritsu, and for my Fuji color, I prefer the Frontier. Stick with Fuji, and that's what Richard provides.
So there's a lot of guys like Jonathan Canlis and Leo Patron, and these guys have bought their own Noritsu V30 developer and their own SP2500 scanner. Do you guys have the thought of like, okay, we're spending all this money at the lab, we're going to go gung-ho, dude, and just do it ourselves?
I found one of those SP2500 scanners on eBay and was thinking about it seriously.
Well, I mean, really, they're what, $2,000 or $3,000? A little more sometimes.
Grand, yeah, you got to get it shipped to you, but it'll pay off itself, I think. I think you'd be able to pay it off over a period of time. But I think ultimately it's not about financially what it's going to cost you or save you. It's about having the ultimate control of the images. And that was the tempting factor of doing that. We may still do that in the future.
Richard Photo, they do a pretty good job. I mean, I send all my stuff there except my black and white that I do chrome, this DR5 process with. I really can't complain. Those guys are on it. It's pretty nice.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, every lab that's doing any kind of good work is doing a lot of volume. Sometimes you get a little weird scan back here and there, but you know something? It's not the end of the world. And that's the thing, because let's look at this in a context of, okay, you guys go shoot your wedding, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You put the film in FedEx, usually because they're better and they're not going to lose it as easy as somebody else.
Yeah.
And what do you do? You get to go do something else.
You get to go out and shoot some more photos.
Yeah. What if you were shooting digital and you had 6,000 images to go curl through?
I don't want to think about that.
The analog process gives you more time to, A, conduct your business, because really in these challenging economic times, people have to spend more time marketing and getting gigs, or if you got enough gigs, you can go out and shoot. How cool is that?
Yeah, and I figure if you're charging the right amount, you can be busy enough to make a living, and then you have free time. Sometimes, especially digital photographers, friends that I know, they're shooting 30, 40 weddings a year, and that's fine and all. You make more money, but they're probably working an 80-hour work week on it. So they have to go through all those files.
They're shooting digital too, right?
Yeah, those are the guys shooting digital. I find that we actually have less of our own personal hours that we actually spend on it. We might charge a little more than the digital photographers, but it's worth it to our clients. We we get less clients maybe because of that, but as long as we get enough of an income, maybe less work, more pay would be better because then we have more time to focus on each wedding to make sure we're getting good shots so we don't get burnt out.
Have you found that in this economic climate that we're in right now that people have been calling looking for the $800 to $1,500 Craigslist jobs? Or are they pretty much looking at your work and saying, yeah, I'm into it? You got a lot of people haggling these days. How are things going on that end for you guys, being in San Diego County?
I think that these hard times are just like any hard times. I think people are always looking for a deal, and the people who are well off, they don't really care about a deal. It's great to have clients who just come to us and they're like, all right, I want the biggest package. Just give it to me. Give me all of it. And I'm like, okay, that's awesome. I would love to do that. But then there's also people who are going through hard times and they want us to work with them. And they have to settle for the bottom package where we don't provide all the digital files on DVD. We provide them online where they can order prints from us. And that's how we recoup some of our costs. And that's how we can offer them a lower price with our bottom package, which is significantly lower than a lot of other film photographers. But that's because I have sympathy for that. Because I know, like, you're getting married, there's a lot of expenses. And sometimes the bride doesn't have a rich father. And they still need good photographs, and they still deserve to have beautiful photographs of their wedding. But I don't know, I think maybe there's been more people trying to get the cheapest price. But I think the people who want $800 to $1,500 photographer, they're not going to call us anyways.
Yeah, they'd want that if they had lots of money.
Yeah. Right.
More money for the honeymoon.
So what do you guys look forward to in the future? What are you looking forward to project-wise? Is it something you want to do personally to shoot? Some kind of different analog photographic process? Do you guys want to start shooting 8x10 chrome portraits at a wedding? What are you guys looking forward to?
Oh, one thing that I've always thought would be awesome is shooting 4x5 Polaroids of an entire wedding. It would be crazy.
Now, would you shoot it straight up color or type 55 so you had a neg? Or would you go straight up hardcore Polaroid? That's it. When you peel it, that's all you got.
I don't know. It depends. I'd like to do the film, but that's more stuff that you got to keep track of. If you shoot like 300 pictures at a wedding of Polaroids, then you have all these negatives that you got to keep filing and washing off and stuff. That's going to be crazy. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how I'd do it, to be honest.
It'd be fun to do.
It would just be fun to do.
Yeah.
I would like to use some of the Fuji 3000B.
That stuff rocks. Have you guys got a chance to play with that very much?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
What has it got? Two stops of latitude, maybe? I don't even know, but it's pretty cool.
That's yeah, it's amazing. Awesome. And the cool thing is, I really like shooting it, and the actual backside with all the chemistry on it, it gives you like a negative. If you scan it, like reflective, you can kind of get a really cool image out of it, and you can solarize it. It works a lot like the PN film, obviously way grainier, and it has like the emulsion smear all over it, but it gives you another unique look that you can actually use.
I haven't tried that yet, but you're right. It does give you a very unique look, and I know it's very fun to shoot 3000B. If you go out 4 in the morning, find a nice lit up building or a restaurant or a drive-in or something cool and shoot some architecture with it, it's just amazing. It's really cool stuff, and I'm sure shooting people will be fun too.
It is fun. Yeah, it's definitely fun. It's sad that they don't make it in the 4x5.
This is true. I mean, I think they might have it in Japan, but you would pay a costly price.
Yeah, I found some in Japan. It is costly price. I didn't order it.
They also have is they have the FP100C, but I think it's 100S. It's silk. It's not a matte finish. It's not glossy. It's different.
Oh, really? Like a more of a pearl finish?
More of a pearl finish on the surface of the pack film.
And that's in Japan?
Oh, yeah. And you can buy it from somebody that's got a website, but it's like 5 or 6 times the price. That's how those guys do that deal.
Maybe I'll take a trip to Japan.
Well, it's worth it. I mean, look at what they have. Have you seen the Natura 1600?
Oh, I will die to shoot that stuff. That stuff looks awesome.
It's really cool, and you talk to people from the States here, and they say, well, it's just a pair of 1600. Well, guess what? It's not.
No.
It's not. So we'll have to chat about that. Maybe we'll go and do a little group buy and get some, because it's yummy stuff, I mean.
Yeah, if I go to Japan, I'll give you a call.
There you go. I don't know what it costs for a flight to Tokyo, but a whole suitcase full of hand-check film. Here, dude. Check this by hand, Mr. Japanese TSA dude. That would be cool. So tell me, guys, your website, the blog, where do people look at your images, what you're up to, what's going on, and just check out all this cool stuff. I know you have this last engagement shoot up on your blog of some really cross-process stuff that you did at Disneyland. There's some cool stuff going on. So where do they check this out?
Well, the blog would be at twinlenslife.com, and that's our blog. We keep it updated usually like once a week, sometimes more. We put a lot of weddings up there, and just all our personal stuff will go up there and experiments we do and just fun stuff that we find out, little news snippets. Our personal website for weddings and consumer portraiture is BWrightPhoto.com, which is spelled BWrightPhoto.com. And then we also have a site that has some of our fine art stuff and also a majority of our commercial stuff that we shop musicians for magazines or album covers and stuff. And that's TheBrothersWright.com.
Great stuff. Beautiful photography, gentlemen. Very cool to see you spent the time to prove, I think, at least to yourselves that you're on the right track with shooting analog over digital. And like we said, digital has its place, but we all love analog. That's what it's about, just pursuing your passion and making great photography and just shooting film or any kind of analog process. And I'm looking forward when you guys start doing wet plate collodion at the next wedding. It'll be pretty cool.
Yeah.
So Brandon, Brian, thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it. And we're definitely going to chat again. Thanks so much. Beautiful work.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Well, there you go. The Brothers Wright. A lot of great stuff going on. Definitely check out their website. Beautiful photography. Really cool, guys. Cool stuff going on with them. And, of course, you've been listening to Inside Analog Photography. I've been your host, Scott Shepard. And, of course, we've been brought to you by Fujifilm over at www.fujifilmusa.com. Richard Photo Lab at richardphotolab.com. DR5 for the coolest black and white chrome at dr5.com. And our friends over at Iger Studios, the place to get high-res scans done. You got to check them out, www.igerstudios.com. Upstrap at upstrap-pro.com. Our media partners are the Analog Photography User Group over at www.apug.org. And of course, our photographic philanthropy partners, George Eastman House International Museum of Photography and Film over at www.eastmanhouse.org. We'll be back next week with more great analog photography.